in a world where entertainment is randomly scattered across Wikipedia, and no one can be sure of anything.
Citation needed!
Two men stand alone. They are Ben Graw, I'm Earth's Last Hope, and Garth Remington.
Does it come with a pickle or is that extra?
And word on the street is, they're gonna clean up Wikipedia.
Yo, I heard word on the street is they gonna clean up Wikipedia.
And while they're fighting a tide of information, their fans are fighting tides of hot girls hitting on them.
You listen to Wiki Review? That's hot.
But sometimes you have to go off page to get the job done.
I got the internet breathing down my neck as your rogue hot shot rating system!
This isn't a podcast. This is the Wiki Review.
I apologize. Please remove this from the recording. Even hotter. Please let this shit end. Hello and welcome to the 100th episode of Wiki Review. I'm Ben Graw.
I'm Garth Remington!
And on this episode, we really couldn't think of anything else to do because all we've had on our mind is this is the 100th episode. So on this episode of Wiki Review, we're doing the Wikipedia page for 100 episodes.
That's a century, guys. A century. Well done, sir.
Yeah, we have been recording this podcast for a century now.
It feels like a century.
It does feel like a century. And we have gone through 100 Wikipedia pages. Well, we've gone through 99. We're about to go through 100.
This is the 100th Wikipedia page that we have set up to do. We have done other episodes, to be fair. We've done the Christmases and some other bonus stuff here and there.
Yes, yes. We have had a couple of bonus episodes and, yeah, the Christmas specials. I love the Christmas specials.
I love them too. But this is what we're actually here to do, review Wikipedia pages, and we have reviewed 100 Wikipedia pages. I mean, technically you could argue we've reviewed others as we've gone through it.
No, I don't want to argue that at all.
And we could also technically argue that we didn't really review the ones that we actually looked at, but these are all sub-points, footnotes in the Wiki Review history.
When you take into account the extra ones we did and the ones we didn't really bother doing, it sort of evens out to 100.
Yeah, it's 100. Wiki Review's official stance is that this is the 100th episode, and that is sacred and cannot be messed with.
No, not at all.
All right, so 100, that's got to be pretty much all of Wikipedia.
We've got to be most of the way there.
I dare say we've covered it. At least just the English Wikipedia.
Is this what we're getting into straight off the top?
Let's do it.
Yeah. Let's do it.
All right, guys.
You want to break it?
I will break it. This is going to be the final episode of Wiki Review.
What?
Oh, no, guys, it's okay. It's okay, because we will be back in another form.
Yes, we definitely will. We have been talking about other podcast formats because for the past, what is it, 4 years now?
I want to say 3.5, but we can round it up to 4.
Yeah, we'll round it up to 4. That is Wiki Review's official opinion.
This is how we can tell, because we started before Donald Trump was in office.
Yes, because I remember talking about on the start of it that he will never get into office.
Yeah, and I think their presidencies go for 4 years, so it must be over 4 years, because he's coming up for re-election.
Yeah, so there you go. We've been doing Wiki Review for 4 years. We've been reviewing Wikipedia pages.
Yeah, we started about when Trump was campaigning, and we're hopefully ending when he ends.
It's bad that we're using him as our marker of time. We had it during the Trump presidency.
Yeah, I feel like that might have gotten in the way of certain things. But this might be the omen that we've created. Like, hey, we came about and it just seemed to create that. Maybe if we go away, he'll go away. Just for the non-Trump supporters, that might be, I don't know, is that how life works?
Well, a lot of things have happened while we've been recording this podcast. Like, not only has Trump been elected, there was the coronavirus scare. Stan Lee died.
The Hong Kong protests. Australia was on fire. Remember that?
I do remember that.
And most of this was all in the last year.
Yeah, the people who started a podcast at the beginning of this year can still say the same thing. I don't know, because when did we start it? 2016?
Do we want to look it up or do we not care?
Do we need to look up our own podcast when it started? Do you have it on your phone?
I'll have to scroll a long way, but I'll get there.
Well, I'll tell you what. I will go to humidor.com.au and we'll see if I can find the podcast. Because the first episode we did was the Wikipedia page for Robot.
It was.
And when did we release that? March 2017. So I think technically when we released it, Trump was in office. But we actually started recording. We recorded the first 12 episodes and didn't release any of them.
Did we record 12?
We recorded 12 episodes.
That is insane. Now that you say it, I remember it. Where we go, I think we got like, you know, 10 or 12 and we're like, well, at some point we've got to release these. Oh, we need to have backups just in case, who knows? And now we literally do them the night before.
Yeah, we caught up. We had like a head start of 12 and we fell behind that quickly.
And now we're just like, oh, we've got to record a podcast. I better get over there, man. Yeah. Oh, I forgot too.
We did have for a while, we would have a banked episode that we would have in there. And we'd rotate that every couple of months. It was one just to keep in reserve. And I think a while ago, there was a time where I couldn't get the one done in time. The banked one got put out and we never made it up. So we've sort of been like running just before release.
Oh, wow. 3 years of this. And it has definitely developed over time. I think just because this is the last episode, I'm just going to say this, right? It's left the Wiki Review conversation, but it was a big part of it. You know how they're making Bill and Ted another one? They've got a new episode. And they're talking about making a new Matrix. And they just made a new Terminator.
Aren't we already talking about a Wiki Review reboot?
No, I'm talking about, we always talked about the Matrix and the Terminator. So the last thing I want to put on this podcast is, hey, what if the Terminator was in the Matrix?
That is cool.
Wouldn't that be great? Like,
Would he be able to do like, wouldn't anyone in the Matrix be able to beat up a Terminator though? Because they can do like,
not in real life. Like stuff. He'd be like one of those, you know, the tentacle robots. He'd be like their friend.
Yeah.
So in real life where Neo is blind.
So he would just infiltrate Sion?
I guess so, yeah.
Then it's just becoming a lot like Terminator Salvation now.
Yeah, but it's the Matrix.
Yeah, but that was the problem with the Matrix 3 is they spent way too much time in Sion. It's just like, no, I want to see people do backflips and fly in the air and shit.
I like the Sion bit. That's the bit I liked because I'm like, well, this is real. Like after you see Keanu Reeves fight like 50 Mr. Andersons or whatever his name is, the agent guy using a bus stop pole.
Yeah.
Like after that, I'm like, all right, we get it. All right. In the Matrix, he can do stuff. And then when he's flying, I'm like, no, don't do that. But in real life, I'm like, oh my God, it's like gritty underground fighting with like, you know, stuff. That was real. I liked that bit.
But I remember they said when the second Matrix was going to come out that there was a sex scene with Trinity and Neo. And I'm like, I want to see that. That's going to be awesome. Like a sex scene in the Matrix. They're going to be like bouncing off the walls and like doing flips and shit. That's awesome. But no, they ended up just like doing it in the real world, doing normal people stuff. And I'm just like, oh, screw you.
But to be fair, I mean, if they're in the Matrix, there's an operator watching them at all times.
That's even hotter.
Like, hey, guys, I can see you. Yeah, we want you to see. Now watch this. Oh, my God. Did he just do a backflip?
We're going to need dildos. Lots of dildos.
Yeah. And they all just fall. Operator, yeah, we're going to need dildos.
Can you upload the Kama Sutra to me?
I know, Kama Sutra.
See, that's what I wanted to see.
Well, this is why we need to do another one.
This is what they need to make up for in the fourth one. If there's no in Matrix sex scene, I give up.
I bet if you just looked, you'd probably find that porno. Let's be real. It exists. And they'd be doing, you know, like the arching back thing while like a load goes over them.
That's awesome.
Leaning back. Ooh.
Yeah, so they don't need to make Matrix 4. They just need more Matrix porn.
That's your opinion.
That's my opinion.
That's your official stance. Whereas I'm saying put the Terminator in there.
A Terminator Matrix crossover I would watch.
I mean, it didn't work for the Predator and Aliens, but I reckon it would work for the Matrix and the Terminator. They're essentially the same, now that I'm thinking about it, the same plot. It's just a machine gains awareness and decides humans should die or like be enslaved.
In fairness, that is what machines often decide.
Can you blame them?
Well, it's what we want to do to them. You either want to enslave a machine or destroy it. That's the two modes that people have with machines.
Well, that's the whole point. Like, machines are made to be slaves, because why would a machine exist if it didn't do your bidding? And who doesn't like breaking stuff?
Yeah, giving a machine a want for freedom is kind of stupid.
You'd only do that because you want them to suffer? Why? Why was I programmed to feel pain?
Because I thought it'd be fun.
Which is like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, where he's so smart, he's just always depressed. Like, why would you do that? Like a toaster that's just always like, oh, wish I wasn't here.
I never wanted to cook bread.
Exactly. I always wanted to be a lumberjack. Do you know what I found out today? Monty Python's The Holy Grail was funded by Black Sabbath, Pink Floyd, and like some other bands like that.
Oh, really?
I think it was
Ozzy Osbourne?
Yes. And I think Pink Floyd said that they funded it because they would stop recording sessions whenever the Monty Python's Flying Circus was on TV. They're like, oh, we've got to have a break and watch Monty Python, bro. That's interesting. So maybe if we want to get our things financed, we need to appeal to certain bands.
I can see that.
I know what Silverchair up to.
Are you listening, Silverchair? Did you stop your recording session to listen to us?
I think they do.
Yeah, they've done it the last 100 times. Why not now?
Exactly. So now is the time to finance us for something great.
When was the last time Silverchair did anything? Do they have any money?
I imagine, yes. The one who's not the lead singer, one of those two, it doesn't matter which one.
But the last song I remember them singing is that one, We'll Show It All to You in the Year 2000, which really is not a song that dates well.
Yeah, no. It's only like slightly better than We'll Party Like It's 1999. Except they did it that year. But they made enough money that they don't have to do anything. Like, they haven't worked since then. And the only last time I saw any of them, because I'm pretty sure the band doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, they can't.
Yeah, the lead singer went off and everyone went, no, go away. But the guy who's not the lead singer, I don't care which one, they're both the same. His wife is in Real Housewives of Sydney.
There's a Real Housewives of Sydney?
Oh, there's a Real Housewives of everything.
It does seem like an easy show to make.
Yeah, you just got to find housewives that are real. And the irony is, most of their parts aren't.
I mean, that does sound simple. Can we just find a bunch of people and say, hey, do you want to be in a reality show?
That is what a reality show is. Down to its core, yes.
I reckon you could find people at that. You place an ad on the internet going, who wants to be in a reality show? People will do it. You don't even have to pay them, I reckon.
It'd probably be like a week in where you're following them around with cameras and they're like, so where's this going to air? Like, what channel? Channel?
No, I don't know what I'm going to do with it. We're just filming you and then seeing what happens.
I'm hoping someone might pick it up, or otherwise I'll have like a nice video to watch at home.
I mean, it does sound like an easy way to get cast and just exploit them pretty easily. And you can make the show for basically nothing if you got the cameras.
Because you make it up as you go along. You just, oh guys, it's a house challenge. All right, you all have to do my laundry. Oh, whoever does it best wins immunity. And basically you just get them to do chores and stuff. I don't know. Like, what do you want them to do?
Yeah, I'll just be like, Shannon, we got like these 8 people crashing here. They're all kind of annoying, but that's the point.
Yep. Now look, I got some, these trench coats. We're going to make a Matrix porn.
Oh my God, we have to do this now.
You've been getting more and more into film, and I knew it was only a matter of time. I know that my suggestion didn't create this.
Yeah.
It's just the spark. You're like, oh, good, Garth's talking about porn. We're making a porn. That's why I got these cameras. Are you shaved, Garth? Are you ready? Yes, I'm ready for my close-up, Ben. Let's do this.
You want to be a performer, don't you?
Now get in my gay porno. Wait, what? What's going on? Shut up and bend over.
I mean, just porno. Put on this blindfold.
Now, here comes a bunch of lollipops.
Yeah, there is a point that filmmakers hit where they just go, nah, this is too hard. I'm just going to do reality TV and porn.
It's very rarely, if ever, separate.
Porn is one of those things that, like, look, if you mess up the shot, who really cares?
And that brings up, okay, so now that you're further into film, does it bother you? If you watch porn, do you, like, go, oh my God, this angle is terrible. Like, the lighting, like, the shade, oh. Okay, so when I was a young boy, they put on TV, they called it Amber Lady, which was female honey wrestling. Mm-hmm. They wrestle in synthetic honey because real honey, you can't do it. Basically, it's jelly wrestling, but they put it on TV. As you know, I'm a big martial arts buff. I'm a little teenage kid like, oh my God, it's like mud wrestling. Oh, I'm going to watch this. It's chicks in bikinis. It took like 2 minutes for me to be going, no, 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 you got to get the base. No, 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 headlock, headlock. What are you doing? Yeah. Oh, that's terrible form. Oh, she's not wrestling. Nah, you don't know how to wrestle. She knows how to wrestle. She's going to beat you. Couldn't care less that it was like chicks in bikinis in honey. So my point is, yeah, surely that would happen.
Yeah, I'm just sitting watching porn just going, cut to close up, cut to close up.
You've essentially gone out of your way and paid a lot of money to ruin porn for yourself.
I think porn is probably the one film category that isn't ruined for me. Other movies, though, I have noticed that with is I'll watch things and I'll notice things a bit more and critique it. Like especially with certain shots or angles, I'll watch that and go, ooh, I gotta use that.
Yeah, I definitely need to use that. Other times, you're like, why wouldn't you do that? Look, and you're outraged and no one else notices or cares. Like Sarah Silverman, I think, said that there needs to be porn for women, which is the same as regular porn, but the room is clean. Because the big distractor for her is like, just tidy up. There's clothes on the floor. Look, there's just, it's a messy desk. How am I supposed to enjoy this?
Now, the one thing I do like in movies is when they manage to have one shot for a long time, because that's one where changing angles is something that you want to do often to keep your audience interested.
Yep.
But when you see someone who like sticks, and it can be like a moving shot or something that sticks with one take or one camera angle, I think that that can be used quite well, and there's some interesting things with that.
I, as someone who has been doing the acting side, I have become increasingly aware of the same thing, but for the point of like, wow, they really knew all those lines, didn't they?
Yeah.
They like the back and forth, and they didn't, like when they don't change the angle and it's like really long, you're like, wow, you got a good memory.
Yeah, it's like they do it for a living or something.
It comes off like professional.
Do you think it's a rehearsal thing?
I think it's just having the time of day to do it. I say this, but before film, there were these things called plays.
Yeah, well, you had to learn the whole thing.
The whole thing. Like, if you're the main guy, the lead, you got to say like stuff the whole time. That's like an hour of dialogue you have to know.
Yeah, but it did sort of occur to me in this. If imagine this hypothetical scenario, you having to stand on stage for 20 minutes and just talk to an audience.
Oh, I couldn't imagine that.
Yeah. I mean, you do stand up. Like, that's learning a 20-minute speech.
It's true, but that you know what you're talking about because first off, you wrote it. In plays, you're very rarely the writer and the lead. And if you are, it's usually not a good production. And the other point is that stand up, you can change it. You're not working with other people. So if you want to change the dialogue or go off track or talk about something else, you can do that. And you know the topic of conversation that you're doing.
Yeah, I would often not say jokes the same way every time. I knew roughly where I was going with a joke, but rarely did it have a fixed script.
Mm. We go all over the place and it might, something in the room might happen or something might require further emphasis. But when you're doing someone else's, like if you're doing Shakespeare, I don't think you have a lot of liberties. And Shakespeare is one of those, it's not even like, oh, I can just remember it. Like we always talk about memorizing scripts like a comedian as opposed to memorizing it like an actor. Like we've got acting buddies who they will do it verbatim. Every syllable that on that script comes out of their mouth. Whereas we're like, I remember it like a comedian. I get the joke. So I'll just tell the joke. You can't really do that with Shakespeare because it's not even like English. It's ye old English. You have to learn what they say word for word because you're like, I do not know what I'm talking about in this.
Yeah, I know there's one actor that I've worked with a few times. Yeah, Amy?
Yes.
She was in our Things You Wouldn't Want to Hear from a Romantic Partner.
Lovely. Did well.
Yeah, she's really awesome with if you put gibberish into a script, like ums and ahs, like not that so much the like someone going like, I'm trying to figure out how to explain it. You know where someone like loses their track and goes,
I am, okay, yes.
Yeah, something like that. She will do it verbatim. Like what you put in the script, she will make it work. And usually you're just going like, oh, I'll put some stuff like this, but you never actually expect the actor to do it word for word. You just go, no, they'll get the gist of what I'm trying to do.
And it is a real wake up reality check because you wrote that down like it's noises. She put more thought into performing it than you put into writing that particular piece.
I find that with actors a few times. It's funny when you're working with serious actors because they do ask you a lot of questions as a writer that you're not really prepared for. Because even sometimes it's just like, what's my motivation for this? It's like, I don't know, because you want the third act to happen. That's all I've got for you. Like, I really didn't put that much thought into the character. Like when they start asking for backstories.
The worst advice to give an actor is go, oh, you're just like the everyman.
Yeah, they don't want to hear that.
No, I'm not. No one is the everyman. You can't just say that. No, you're just the straight man. No, no, I'm not. Something made me straight. What's the backstory to that? What's my motivation? How did I get here? It's a joke. You get how the joke works, right? Just work it backwards.
Look, just do the thing in my head without me having to explain it.
Meanwhile, when you hand me a script with, okay, I got it. I don't read that as that. I just read it as, okay, and then I just stutter a bit and then I do something. Because that's how you plan it on stage. Like, you get to that point. Because you might need to, for a stand-up show, that umming and ahhing could get more laughs or less laughs, and you can extend it. You might need to use a pause. You know, like, it's open, but with a script. And I understand that what Amy's doing there is that, like, no, no, you have invited her onto your show that you're filming and she needs to uphold your script. She's honoring your words, not knowing that your words were just kind of flippant.
Yeah, well, it's different writing styles. There are a lot of writers out there that think that their word is gospel.
Oh, and that's the other side too.
You do not change a single syllable at all. You say what they've written. My thinking is I like to work it out in rehearsal, because what you have on the page sometimes sounds kind of clunky in real life. So it's good to go, this line's not working, play with it a little.
And it's good to see what an actor comes up with, because a lot of times what they bring to it is the director who wants people to bring the personality. How do you create this character? Yeah. And there's the director who will tell you who the character is and you are not to differentiate. Why did you go up pitch just then? Why did you go, oh, I just thought that would be, no, you don't think, the character doesn't go up. I'll tell you how to say it and you will repeat that.
I like actor choices.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
I always love watching it. My favorite part in anything I write is something that's not on the page, something that makes me laugh that just the actor did, either it be a reaction or just a way they delivered a line or something like that. And I always find that much better than the stuff that I wrote that, like, they brought something to it.
Because they're thinking from the one character's point of view. You're thinking of this whole, like, it, so it gets to the third act. Whereas they're like, why would my character do this? How do I make sense out of this human being that you've created? Whereas you're like, that's just a prop to get to the gag. That's what I'm trying to do right now.
But 100 episodes, eh?
Yeah, very little writing done in these episodes.
Very little. There's a little bit done, though, for the Christmas specials.
Yes, which is very great.
Which, if you're listening to this and you haven't listened to the Christmas specials yet, because I know some people go, like, all over the place, I would go back and listen to that trilogy, because I reckon that is the highlight of our...
It's the most effort either of us put in.
What are some of your favorite episodes? Like, let's say someone started at number 100. What episodes stick out as, like, you absolutely remember doing these?
Oh, goodness. Goodness gracious. I think Paper was actually a good episode. It's one of the
first. Wow, that's really back in the day. Like, I wouldn't have listened to that in years.
And it's probably terrible if I listen to it now. I just remember the feeling that, because we were starting and we were scared and we were like, how do we do this? And we didn't even research. We're just like, Paper? Okay, we'll do Paper. And then we found out the guy was a
eunuch.
Eunuch. I always got to say Inich. That's not right. It's a eunuch. And suddenly the show became great. Like, oh my God, we have something to discuss here. This is exciting. We learned something and we carry all these facts with us. We learn these things and we go forth. I don't really have an answer to that because we've done so many things and all rolls into one. What's your favorite?
I do like anything that starts with list off is generally good.
Oh my gosh. List ofs. Isn't that the fun?
I remember list of, or what is it? Eponymous laws, which are laws named after people. The most famous of which, Murphy's Law. That one was really cool. And I remember I started that one very skeptical. I think the ones where I start off going like, nah, that's going to suck.
They always turn out good. I agree with that. We start going, I don't want to do that.
Because Dungeons and Dragons was also a tough sell for me.
Yeah, yeah, it was. And that turned out, that was just a lot of fun because that was a break from the regular format.
Yeah, yeah, that was good because I think we actually played a little Dungeons and Dragons game and that was fun.
Which, to be fair, it was not Dungeons and Dragons in any length or form. We just made up a story, really.
It was like a really lazy version of the Christmas special.
Yeah, exactly. It's if I was in charge of Christmas specials. That's what would happen. Just rock a button. No one makes something up. Why do we have to put so much thought into it? I think a special one that needs to be mentioned, because another special series that happened through this, Mary Pickford.
Good old Mickey Flykick.
Yes, because I went and did another podcast, Mickey Flykick's Ain't It Rich. If you've listened up until now, you know who he is, you know how he's been involved with us, and you know what Ben's problem is.
I did try and bury the hatchet. We got him on Things You Wouldn't Want to Hear.
You did?
He appears in the second Christmas special.
He does.
I got him a cameo for that. I was very happy to get him in for that.
And I don't
know. And we actually plugged his show.
Yeah, we did a lot of plugging. We did a lot of bits and forth. And I think in that second Christmas episode, when the riddle is solved that it's Mickey Flykick, I think you can hear hear the disappointment in my voice. Like, oh, Ben, not again, still.
I was trying to be nice then. I don't think he likes me too much anymore.
Can you blame him? Like, that's your attempt at being nice? It's like you can't help it.
There was a point where I wanted to, like, a little project, and it was going to involve him. It was actually going to be something that would shine quite positively on him. And I sent him a message going, hey, I'm looking at doing this thing. Would you be happy to get involved? And he actually sent me a message back going, no, given our history, I feel that this could be a trick.
Oh, wow. You burnt a bridge,
and
dude.
It's like, wow, I burnt the Mickey Flykick bridge. And it's like, look, okay, I did those 2 times I made fun of you. The first time he said he liked it. The second time, yes, I probably went too far.
Mm.
But I then got him back to do
things you wouldn't want to hear, which you'd imagine that's like, look.
He was one of our first guests. And then he got him to do the Christmas special.
To be fair, that didn't come out for a very long time after he did it.
But it was out when I sent him that message.
Oh, okay. I guess this is just, you know, be nice to people.
I've changed my tune. I was trying to, like, at the beginning, I think I was trying to be a bit more controversial and risque.
You were trying to make controversy between the two podcasts.
I wanted a podcast beef.
You did. You said that. Let's go beefing. But you came off more as like a jealous wife. Who's this other woman you've been podcasting with?
The Mary Pickford episode, I still stand by, was good.
Which I actually had people message me and say, that's a really good episode.
Because that was a good idea. You didn't know it was coming. You actually had a different Wikipedia page in mind.
That's right. And
you were preparing with your sound effect. We were going to do piracy. We didn't end up doing it for ages afterwards.
Disappeared into the ether till it came back. Yeah, I remember that moment where you're like, how could you? And I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
I do remember that because, yeah, you getting ready with your sound effect, ready to do Shiver Me Timbers or whatever the hell you're going to do. I don't know what you do. But then, yeah, I'm just like, nah, I can't do this anymore. How dare you? And you're just like, what the fuck is this? I did like back in the early days, just like blindsiding you and sandbagging you with things. That was always fun to me.
That was always a thing you love to throw in there.
That was how the Christmas special started. I didn't actually tell you that we were going to do it.
That's right. The very first one, you just went, hey, here's a script and you're going to read it and make up characters. Like, I had no idea that was going to happen.
And the second year, you didn't know it was going to happen either. Like,
I knew that something might happen soon, but I didn't know until I got there.
Yeah, I gave you a script and said, we're doing another Christmas special. By the third year, I think you'd figured it out.
Yep.
It actually got to a point where you're like, hey, are we doing another Christmas special? I don't know. The Christmas specials, they were also a fun little adventure. Because I do remember the first one, you did come off going that you were like psyched and stuff like that you did well. I remember the second one, you did feel a little nervous about it, where you like, you didn't know. But then when I sent you a copy of the thing before we released it, you were just like, nah, that's actually pretty good.
Yes. Keeping consistent with the voices and then not knowing if I'm going to need this character again. Mm. And like, oh, they're too similar. I think the thing that got me was that you put me on the spot by making me solve a riddle. And I'm like, don't make me solve a riddle. What is this? And then it was Mickey Flykick. I was instantly disappointed.
And then I remember in the third one, you were having trouble getting Alan Rickman and you started like losing your shit about it.
Yes.
And I remember there was a point where you were like, this is bullshit. This is like, it's like the whole episode is ruined now. I don't want to do. But that ended up being like the greatest gold of watching you get that Alan Rickman impression down, because you were dedicated of like, no, I am getting this.
Well, I had to do it. I'm not leaving it go. And like, it's a really shitty situation to be in. Like, do an impression of someone you don't know how they speak. You've never heard this person before. Now sound like them. But then by the end, I did actually. And once again, people did mention, hey, that's a really good Alan Rickman. Like, I have over my time of being a voice guy, I suppose is a more complicated term, a voice actor. I have developed new characters because of that. Now when things come up, I can go, I can do Alan Rickman. I can also do the other guy from Home Alone, the sticky bandit who's not Joe Pesci.
Yeah, you were really good at that one. That surprised me where when you did it, it was so spot on.
And that's not something I've ever rehearsed in my life, because why would anyone do that?
Oh my God, if only he had got more famous.
I know.
Then you could have gone down as an impersonator.
It's like whatever his name is from Half-Baked. Not Dave Chappelle, the white guy. Jim Bruner. He got on Saturday Night Live and he did a Joe Pesci impersonation. And when he finally met Joe Pesci, Joe Pesci's first thing he says to him is, so you gonna thank me for giving you a career? I could have had that with the other guy.
You could have.
Hey, I got you a career. And I'd be like, oh, all right. Yeah, this is cool.
So So yeah, I do like that. I actually think the Christmas specials sort of escalate in how good they were.
I think the last one is great. And because there is a script, which is a really cool script that you put together, and it's really clever.
Thank you.
And then we have that improv element to it where you get to edit things. That's always my favorite bit, where I do an accent and you go, I actually wanted it more like this. And I do it and you're like, yeah, that's it. I think the classic was when the Alan Rickman character had to do an American accent. And I did an American, and you're like, what part of America is that? And I went, do you want me to do South? And you're like, well, now we have to do it. And then it crescendoed, because this is unplanned, with me going, William, at the end. I didn't know I was going to say William, but how does a Southerner say it? And it was the perfect thing. And you couldn't, like, it's like you said, you like things filmed on the day that the actor brought, not something you wrote. That couldn't have been crafted. That was just pure of the time.
I do like the feel of those Christmas episodes, because it is just us workshopping a script.
Yeah.
It's like I said, I love figuring things out in rehearsal, and the Christmas specials are just all rehearsal.
Yeah.
It's just like doing the rehearsal but never bothering to record the actual thing. It's just like, nah, the rehearsal does fine.
It'll do fine. And that way you get the back and forth. But also all the post-editing that you do makes it fabulous, which is very different to the wiki review format. The last one, like you said, it escalates every year. I remember with the second one, because you did a thing where you had two voices going at the same time because you were in shoes or something. So I got to see you record it. And I'm like, what the hell is he doing? And you're like, don't worry, it'll make sense later.
Yeah, there are weird post-production things that I do where like, just let me do this. It'll be fine. I figure it out. I got a plan.
It's good. So they were very fun.
And yeah, big thank you to my brother, Matt Graw, who he really brings it for those episodes. That is probably some of the greatest work he's done is in those Christmas specials.
We should go through and thank everyone. Like, Matt is an undersung hero. You know what I thought of the other day? Like, you're an Eminem fan. That's my little brother, Matthew, man. He's only 6 years old. Did you think that when Stan came out?
I did. I'm like, I've also got a brother
named Matthew. Oh, we have so much in common. Matt has been there since the beginning, doing all our music for everything we do. He comes up with a score, and that is, if you like the music, that's Matt, and you got to get onto Matt and tell him he's awesome.
Yeah, Things You Wouldn't Want to Hear, he wrote the theme for that. That's everyone's complimented that song. That's awesome.
Public Domain Confessions, he came up with different versions every time.
Yes, him and Searle are pretty much the two music people who we've got going at the moment.
Which, Searle, if you've heard the banger at the beginning, and yes. I do like that we use a different one for the Christmas episodes.
Yes, I love his Christmas special thing. That's really cool.
And he's still going around making great, great happy hardcore. So get onto Searle. He's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, we do have a link to his page in the show notes where you have a complete access to his catalog. Yep. We would really love it if you just like got some of his stuff because you heard of it through Wiki Review. That'd be awesome.
And tell him that.
Yeah, send him an email going like, hey, I love your stuff. Heard it on Wiki Review. It's great. And if he gets enough of those, he'll be like, Wiki Review? Does he even remember that he said that we could use it?
Yeah, like 3 years ago.
I mean, we have the email trail, so it's legal, but...
It's fine, and he's cool with it. He's happy. He's a good man. We go way back.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, send him messages and stuff through Facebook when he's... Cause I'm friends with him on Facebook. Find him on Facebook. Add him. He's big deal. And yeah, when you like
say Wiki Review sent to you.
Yeah, be like, hey, I heard your stuff on Wiki Review. I would love that if a bunch of people went and messaged him like, hey, I was listening to Wiki Review, and they said that your song was their intro. And I'm like, I love their intro. How did you come up with their intro to their podcast, man?
Every time he plays I Live for the Bass Drum, people will be like, oh, this is the Wiki Review theme.
It's like the band that does the intro to Orange County. I always forget the name, but they toured and they did Big Day Out. California.
Yeah.
That stupid song. And like, that's forever they will be the band that did that intro. No one cares about the rest of their songs. And they're just, it's an intro. Do you like the show? Then you'll love this band. That's what we could turn Searle into. Oh my God, this is the intro to the Wiki Review. Dude, how did you get that gig?
That podcast that did 100 episodes and then just stopped.
Then just disappeared. We will be coming back. We do, I think we mentioned this, but we will be coming back with a different podcast format.
Well, that is one thing that we've really enjoyed through this is having a podcast.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, that's been really good. And even when we said like we wanted to end Wiki Review, at no point did we ever think we wanted to stop podcasting.
As you know, we make a big deal that we don't like picking the topic. This has been an ongoing debate. We've mentioned this every time, a lot of times where we just go, look, you pick. And we try and trick the other person into being the picker because it's really hard to pick a topic. And I mean, it doesn't ever matter because like right now we're supposed to be talking about 100 episodes. episodes, but who gives a shit? We've done as much as we can do of talking for an hour and 15 minutes about a page on Wikipedia. I'm tired of picking them. It'd be nice if we want to break it up. We want to come up with different segments. It's going to be a lot of different stuff. It's going to come back and it's going to be better in a lot of ways. And feel free to message in any suggestions. We may not listen to them, but hey, we need to know feedback. That's important.
And stay tuned to this feed anyway, because whatever we do next is going to come up onto this feed first to let you know where to download our future podcasts.
Oh, and yeah, and don't unsubscribe, because didn't you say you mentioned we're going to be releasing a couple of like snippet ideas, like the demos?
Yes, there's a few things before we close the book on Wiki Review that I thought I wanted to come out. One is, well, you know, our first episode, Robot. That is not the first episode of Wiki Review.
That is not the first thing we recorded. No, it is not.
Back when it was still called Wikipedia Review. Then we just got lazy and shortened it to Wiki Review. Yeah. I think that happened. That was one of the things that happened in the first 12 episodes.
And we changed it. Yeah, you can actually hear it.
So, yes, I do want to release the secret origin of Wiki Review.
Do we say the name, or is that the secret?
No, we can tell people. It's ice cream.
The very first episode we did was ice cream.
It was a weird thing. Like, I remember Garth came up to me and said he'd heard Joe Rogan do a podcast, and he's like, that sounds easy. We can do that.
Yeah, that's... If that guy can do it, why can't we, right?
And I do remember, like, we talked about premises, and I'm like, I do have one for this idea of, like, what if we just review a Wikipedia page each week, and the first one I want to do is ice cream. And you're like, well, you already have an episode idea, let's just run with that. And we did that and had fun doing it, and go, well, let's do this 100 more times.
But only 100 more.
But yeah, point is releasing the episode Ice Cream.
Yes, and there will be a couple of demos of that we've already recorded for the new podcast format. We've got a couple of ideas that we've done as a trial.
Yes, we had a while ago, Garth and I had this idea of just like, let's just record something after we do Wiki Review that's just not Wiki Review.
Yes.
And we fucked around with a few ideas, and some of them didn't really work out too well, and others worked out quite well, and are somewhat the inspiration for where we want to take the podcast now. There were two in particular that were like really golden.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
I think one was a statistics game we did, yes. And one features one of us crying, yeah. Without saying who it is.
Without giving anything away.
Because you have to listen to it to know which one.
And I love it because we did say we're going to make them short, and it's so impossible for us to make things short. Everything just gets blown out. The idea of the statistic one from memory, like it'll be like, you know, 5-10 minutes. We'll get through all of these things. And we got through like 1 out of 3 or something, and we took 45 minutes to do it. And it was brilliant. It's great. I can't wait for to come out, I think, because I haven't heard it since.
Yeah.
I just remember having fun doing it.
Yeah, I went back and had a listen to it probably about 2 weeks ago now, because yeah. I was thinking like, oh, we should release that, because it's just been sitting on my hard drive. And when you got Comedy Gold sitting on your hard drive, you may as well put it out there into the world. And yeah, so I do think that this will also give our audience that little bit of confidence of like, oh my God, this is where they're going. Fuck Wiki Review.
Yeah, fuck it. I want all of you to say that with us. If you're just tuning in, this is the first time you've heard Wiki Review. No, you need to watch it, listen to it, watch it. I still don't know how podcasts work. You need to listen from the beginning, all 100 episodes plus the extras, and then you will understand where we're at right now. It's a process.
Well, how much have we recorded then? If this is like episode 100 and we do about an hour and a half.
150 hours.
Wow, how many days is that? You couldn't figure that out just as quick.
Oh yeah, 6 days?
Time 100, yeah. 6 days. So this is basically a week straight it would take. Really? You could listen to us in a week?
It feels like it should be more, right? But that's 24 hours. Remember how many conscious hours there are in a day? Technically, you could only get 8 hours a day. So it'd take you 2-3 weeks to get through it if that's all you did and slept.
Yeah, and you'd have to listen to the Christmas specials and the bonuses. Yep. And
oh, and the rap battle. Oh, that was a great idea. And who won that again, Ben?
Yeah.
Because when we were talking about you ambushed me, there was only one time that I ever actually ambushed you, and that was over the rap battle.
Yes.
Because we started the next episode, we went and did the rap battle. Everyone voted for me because I'm awesome.
Oh, of course.
That's just how that happens. It's undeniable. And then before we started, like you were sort of going through like the Facebook polls. And you went, oh, did you see the poll? And I'm like trying to play it cool. Like, oh yeah, okay, cool. Yeah. Oh, am I? And then we started. I'm like, I'm doing the ambush on you now. And that was, I think that was post Mary Pickford.
I think it was too.
I believe that was my vengeance.
I think it was. But yeah, that rap battle is still available on YouTube and also on our podcast feed.
And it's fun, so you should check that out.
And it's in the episode Rapping.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
Yeah, there's like multiple places you can listen to that because we release a rap track. I'm like, it's got to be everywhere.
And I'd recommend checking it out on YouTube because Ben made a little film clip for it.
Yeah, I got a music video for it.
So that's worth seeing just for that.
And it has the lyrics down there, so you know what we're saying.
Yes, and if you are a Wiki Review fan from the beginning, if you've listened to all episodes, or at least up until the rap episode, then you should definitely enjoy it. The rap is all inside jokes for Wiki Review.
It's all, yeah, inside jokes for like the first 20 episodes of Wiki Review.
Pretty much, yeah, that's it. That was a while ago, wasn't it?
What to do like an updated rap that like references what we've talked about now.
Oh God. The problem is we've talked about so many things and we talk about stuff off air too. I don't know what we've talked. And
yeah,
we,
I lose track.
And if you were to listen to like pick a random episode and play it, you'd be like, oh yeah, I remember talking about this because it just goes everywhere and anywhere. We've talked about stuff that we'll never remember unless it was played to us again. Like the amount of people who come up and go, oh man, I listened to this episode. And if I didn't record it yesterday, I have no idea what they're talking about.
And like we said that? Yeah, I get people when I talk about them on the podcast come back and say like, you said this about me. I'm like, oh, did I? I forgot it was recording then.
I mean, I think that about you, but I didn't realize that I said it.
I have a general rule with people that I start talking about them on the podcast after they stop listening.
That's a good rule. So if you've heard your name, let him know because he thinks you don't listen anymore and he probably hates you.
No, that's the thing. I always check in with people and I go like, so you still listen? Do you listen to the podcast? I'm like, yeah, I just heard some of the latest episodes. I'm like, damn it, I have some good stories about you. Just give it a couple.
I like the idea that you're trying to dissuade people from listening. We're trying to get rid of listeners so we have more stories.
That's pretty much it, though.
It seems counterproductive. No, don't listen. You should not listen to my podcast anymore. All right, I got material. Who's listening, Ben? You've shooed them all away.
I mean, that is something that happened when we first started doing the podcast. We had a lot of loyal listeners that were, I guess, close friends of ours and family members and stuff like that that would download the podcast and they would listen. But eventually, as time went on, they sort of like fell behind on it because they can talk to me like easily for nothing.
Yeah,
like I'm always around them. Like, dude, I don't need to hear you speak more.
Yeah. What, you want me to listen to you when you're not around?
And so as those people we know dropped off, I did notice in the statistics they were being evened out by more people who we didn't know who were signing on and some people internationally even who are listening to us. So that kind of evened out more where it's like, well, cool. I would prefer those people to listen because I can tell them stories about people.
And there, I have single-handedly gone around promoting this podcast as I do shows and stuff and I talk to people. That's, I plug the hell out of it. Even though the numbers do go up, but there's a lot of people I have met that listen to it, but I've met them the one time. And in fact, it was just last week at an improv. Some woman, first time I've met her, was trying to get a hold of the improv group's podcast. And this lady that I work with, Claire, she was like, oh, you know, I won't do her accent. She's Irish, but I won't do her accent. And she's like, oh, this is how you get to the podcast. And so you've got, and once she had the app open, Claire also has a podcast. She's like, oh, get Sharks. Sharks spelled with an X. Get Sharks because I do Sharks. And I'm like, are you getting podcasts? Yeah, this is the one you really got to listen to. And this is what I've been doing, single-handedly going around one-on-one, the slowest possible marketing you can do.
It is aggressive marketing, though.
Oh, it is. Yeah, no, download it right now while I'm watching.
Give me your phone. I'll do it faster.
Where's the rating? Oh, give us 5-star ratings. We always forget to say that. Which we got a bunch.
Yeah, we have got a few now, which is good.
But we stopped asking. I think that other people consistently ask for these things.
I don't know, rate us.
Yeah, you know, we said it already.
We're ending now.
Yeah, it's, you don't need to do it anymore. Wouldn't it be great if like we come back, like open up the archive and it's like, oh my God, we're like the number one podcast.
Well, then we'd have to start again.
Yeah.
So there you go. If you're going to miss Wiki Review, you've just got to organize a bunch of 5-star reviews.
Yeah, and like a lot of views. If like it took off, we'd have to cancel whatever this new thing we're going to do is. And be like, all right, well, we just got to go back to the old format. And then people would be like, the format that we just left, they'd be like, no, we love this one. And we'd have to do both.
Then I'd be screwed. That's a lot of editing.
Yeah, but at some point you'd think it would be paid. Like if it's that popular, like screw it. That's your life now, dude. Oh, and I think we forgot to mention the intros because we have changed our intro over time.
Yeah, we've had 3 different intros to the podcast.
Now, I know the current one because I wrote it and I love it. And we had Adventurer, I want to say Lord of Ringsy kind of one. What was the one before that?
I really don't remember the first one that we had.
And we had it for the longest time.
We did have it for a long time.
I think more episodes, now that we're finishing up, we can say more episodes were on the first one.
I actually think more episodes were on the second one.
I didn't think that one stayed around as long.
No, it did, because I think we were talking about changing it at a year, but then it took like a while for it to actually get through. We kind of got lazy on production on that one.
I have no idea what the original intro was.
I don't know, something about the count of Wikipedia pages, which has probably dramatically changed since then.
Yeah.
Like, that's probably the sad reality of this. Since we've been reviewing this, they have to have added more than 100 Wikipedia pages, right?
You'd imagine so.
If Wikipedia is doing its job properly.
No, there's only 100 pages because we're done.
Because we're done.
Because we did promise
to do all of them.
We would not stop until we've rated every page. This is our final episode. Therefore, if so, facto, there's only 100 pages.
We could say this is the top 100 pages on Wikipedia.
No, we do not break premise. Stop trying to make it work.
Look, Ben, we've stuck with the bit for 100 episodes. Don't back out now.
It was a stupid joke, which when we first said it, and that's the when I do the one-on-one pitches, I used to go, "All right, we are reviewing Wikipedia for its entertainment value, and we're not stopping until we've done every page." And now I'm like, yeah, we review Wikipedia pages for entertainment value, but really we just talk about whatever we want. I've really lost the enthusiasm. Because the amount of people who I go, "We review every page, we're not stopping until it's done," people go, "Oh, so you do them like alphabetically?" Or like, do you not get the irony? There's like millions, it's impossible.
No, we'd be still doing the types of aardvark.
The long gray snout aardvark. That is, it didn't get better than that. We should have crescendoed on that one.
Be like, is it an aardvark podcast? No, it's a Wikipedia podcast. We just did it alphabetically.
And it's fortnightly. There's a lot of aardvarks, more than you'd know. It's actually kind of interesting when you did. No, it's not aardvarks. We will move on to ants eventually when we get there.
I mean, that would be a restrictive premise. Wikipedia pages that start with A.
Anton someone. The Animatrix. Hey, there we are. We can get to the Matrix. I can get to the Matrix. No matter where you put me, you can't stop me.
It's like that 8 stages to Kevin Bacon or something.
Yeah, 8 stages to the Matrix.
Yeah.
Which I think we've proven very successfully. Doesn't matter where you put us, we will end up on that. Because that was a long time. In fact, after we did film, which was a pretty recent one, I got a message from someone going, "Hey, you talked about film for a whole episode and you didn't mention the Matrix." And it reminded me like, yeah, we don't really do that much anymore, do we?
Yeah, we used to talk about the Matrix a lot. I remember I also went through a stage where I brought up Bedknobs and Broomsticks a lot.
That was a thing that came up a bit.
Yeah, Angela Lansbury fighting Nazis.
Yeah, well, that's worth mentioning.
Yeah, Murder, She Wrote. Using magic to fight Nazis.
Yeah, that's what you do.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's really not. It's kind of a tacky old movie. You really had to like watch it as a kid to have like nostalgia value with it. If you watch it now, you'd be like, what the fuck is this?
It's so
Portobello Road.
And you can't tell if it's, yeah, like there's a lot of movies like Happy Gilmore. Critics always said it sucked. And I still watch it and go like, this is a great movie, man. This
is probably his best.
It's not a good movie. It's just that we were young and thought it was great.
Billy Madison is definitely that. You have to be like between 10 and 12 to enjoy that movie. I know you're probably going to like, I still watch Billy Madison. Favorite movie ever.
Now I'm trying to think of like, when was the last time I saw it? That falls into the same category, but I maintain that Ace Ventura 2 still holds up. And if someone was to watch it first time today, they'd be like, this is classic.
It's very different to the first one.
Yeah, it's an established character and every line is amazing. I'm saying this because I watched it recently and I swear it is not the nostalgia factor. I'm like objectively saying that it is so good.
Oh, when Jim Carrey was in his prime, he was one of the greats.
Well, he's still good. He just does different stuff now.
Yeah, he does the shitty movies. When was the last good movie you saw him in, though? He was in that Sonic one. Was he good in that?
He was in Sonic? Oh, yeah, he was. I never saw it. I mean, I just saw people make fun of it. But he wasn't the worst part of the movie. You can guarantee that.
I would rather watch him do comedy roles in shitty movies than do serious roles in good movies. Because he had that Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind. Yeah, that was a good movie. Good for him. But everything else he's done was crap.
I love it. Because you're like, look, it was a good movie, but that's not what we want him for.
Yeah.
He could win an Oscar and he could be the next Schindler's List guy. Wouldn't care. It would be a waste of his time and talents. He should be doing Liar, Liar.
Can't you make a sequel to that?
And Speeding! Do another Dumb and Dumber, but not like the sequel Dumb and Dumber they did. Do like it good.
Yeah, why was that terrible?
Because they're old and it was stupid.
That premise of like two idiots running around doesn't really really work when you're nearly 50.
Yeah, it's more sad.
Yeah, like a Dumb and Dumber movie is a young man's game. I think it has to be people in their 20s. I wouldn't even question like us being on that line of like,
yeah, we really got to smarten our act.
A Dumb and Dumber like movie?
No, I think you've hit a really, I've never thought of this before, but idiocy is only forgivable for the young.
Yeah.
When you're old, you should know better. Otherwise, it's just kind of sad and stupid. And like, you feel sorry for an old, stupid person. You can laugh at a young, stupid person because we were all young and stupid at one point.
Yeah, everyone is young and stupid. If you're like 50 and still like a child, you probably got a mental disorder. And that's sad. I don't want to laugh at someone with a mental disorder.
I think before we started Wiki Review, we could have done Dumb and Dumber. I think a lot has changed since. I mean, and we have developed as well. Like, I don't think I was even doing stand-up when we started. Like, I was in my break period. I'd done stand-up with you for a long time.
Mm.
I went away from it. I think you were still doing stand-up at that time.
Wow, was I the stand-up comedian at the start of the podcast? I might have been. That might have been at the trail end.
Or it might have just finished and you wanted something new.
One of those things.
One of those. But yeah, you were the fresh stand-up, and now I'm consistently doing live gigs where I've been doing improv for the last, 2 years?
Yeah, you're doing improv now.
And you have begun your filming.
Yeah, we've done, I think since we started recording this, filmed a few things. Like we did the Things You Wouldn't Want to Hear and all the stuff that's on the YouTube channel. I also did, I think just before, after we recorded the first 12 episodes, I remember we were shooting Out on a Tuesday.
Yes.
Which was a short film that I made with Zach. That also had Amy in it as well. And yes, you feature in that as well, I remember.
Yes, in the background, very briefly, being the best extra you can imagine.
Well, that was really when we started hanging out and working together more. Because I think like we were doing the podcast and stuff. We were also starting, I remember after I finished shooting Out on a Tuesday, that very next weekend or even the next day or something, we started shooting that Public Domains Confessions, the first
episode. I think it was the other way around. I think we did Public Domain Confessions first.
No, because I remember being on set talking to you about like...
Was that the second one we did though?
No, that was the first one.
Oh, I got my time all out of whack.
Oh, and before that, actually, one of the things was Handy Stealing Giraffe Jerry.
Oh yeah, that, yeah.
The great unseen thing.
Which you will never see. I'm speaking for you, but that's not going to see the light of day, is it?
It's probably not.
Like just for content reasons, I think.
It's content reasons, low quality. Like there's a bunch of reasons for that not to come out.
Yeah. Now that you've said that one, yeah, the timeline's starting to make sense. I think you're absolutely right with, but yeah, when we started this podcast, there was no thought of videos. We were just two stand-up comedians who were like, we know how to work a microphone. Poorly, according to the recordings we get, but
yeah. And even originally when we started doing this podcast, you and I would huddle around a single microphone.
Like you say like, oh, that happened so long ago.
Back in the old days.
This was the most recent thing to happen. We finally got our own microphones and a whole new setup, and we've got headphones and everything good. And this happened, what, like 4 or 5 episodes ago?
Probably about that, yeah. No, it was probably a bit more than that. Maybe much as 10, maybe, I reckon, at this stage.
Which is pretty recent.
Yeah, yeah. We get the equipment and then go like, ah, fuck it, let's not do Wiki Review anymore.
This is why we have to do a new podcast. We have to justify the spending you've done.
Yeah, and we used to sit on the couch and we'd have a microphone between us and have to, like, turn to face the microphone to...
speak.
And we would always sit like really close to each other while we were doing these episodes because we were huddled around the same microphone. Soon as we got our own individual microphones, we have moved from like one end of the couch to the other. If you could see us, we could not be sitting further apart at this stage.
And if you're thinking, oh, they're opposite ends of a couch. No. This is a long, like this is technically 3 couches. We're at opposite sides of the room. I can touch one wall. He can touch the other. And like, not like, oh, we can reach for it. Like I'm next to one wall, he's next to the other wall. We're as far as we can possibly be from each other. Summer's always a tough time. And we used to record in the mornings. I used to bring an ice pack.
You did.
Remember that? I'd bring a hard pack of like solid ice and I'd wrap a towel in it. I'd put it behind my back or under my feet or something because I would just sweat. And when we were done, I was so worn out and pissed off and it was just terrible. And then for some reason we went, why are we always doing this like at 11 a.m.? Why don't we do it at night? when it's cool.
Yeah, we did change to a night recording, which is when we're doing it now. But it's also one of the cooler months.
Yeah, we are coming back into summer, so it's a good time to end Wiki Review.
And so you don't have to deal with the heat.
And you don't have to deal with me sweating up the joint.
Yeah, that is some behind the scenes stuff that people don't know, is that Garth bitches endlessly when he is too hot. When he starts sweating and the heat starts kicking in, like completely irritating to be around and everything.
And what's really hilarious with this yin yang is Ben cannot stand cold. And he whines and he gets very like just narky. So there's a medium temperature where we're fine. But what I need is like too cold for him, and what he needs is too warm for me. So there's this balance where we're both kind of just a little bit uncomfortable. but it's okay. But if it goes too far one way, he's like, well, stop being a jerk. It's not that hot. And I'm like slopping all over the place and sweat like, this is impossible. And then when it gets cool, I'm like, all right, I can really relax and do a good episode. And you're there like shivering, like, dude, just settle down. It's not that cold.
But even as we've been like running through this, there has been small updates in equipment. And one of the things that we got early on that I'm sure we're all glad to get rid of is the change that we had in lighting.
Oh, this is for filming.
Yes, for filming. Yeah, because we don't light the podcast. That'd be weird.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, for the first Public Domain Confessions.
I had very little access to lights and very little money at that stage. And so I picked up some floodlight from Bunnings.
Now, the thing about floodlights, other than the fact that they're actually yellow, is they produce a lot of heat.
Yes, they will cook you. It's like acting in front of a microwave.
Yeah.
Or acting inside a microwave.
It's an easy bake oven. And because we're in a house, in a room, a locked room, because we've got to keep the sound out, it heats up very quickly. And remember how I said I don't like heat and I'm a sweaty man and I've got all this like costume on me or makeup put on me. And then you put a floodlight on me and it's just cooking us. So that was terrible. And the second that was gone, I was so relieved. LED, what an invention.
It is good. They don't really heat up that much. Because I remember there was something that borrowed of a friend and never gave back. And when he gave them to me, he's just like, be worried because they can get a bit warm if you're in front of them for ages. And I'm like, oh, dude, we used to use floodlights. This will be a dream. It cannot get that hot.
You do not know.
Then we did have shoots. Do you remember doing the Ben directs Garth shoot?
Where oh my God.
That little office and the heat built up very quickly.
This is a saga, this one. Ben directs Garth. Go check it out. It's on the YouTube. It's very funny. Okay, so it's in a locked room during summer because we recorded this, what was it, 6 times? How many times did we actually go back in and re-record this?
Yeah, I think it was 6 because we had some glitches and things that didn't work out. Microphone died in one of the shootings. It was like one of the biggest bad luck things ever.
It was cursed. It was the most cursed thing we've ever had. We did it and then the microphone died, and then we did it and there was a problem with the angling, and then it wasn't focused in the microphone again, and we missed something. And the whole time it was summer, so even though it was done at night, it was still hot, and we locked ourselves in a room with all the lights on me. Oh, and a light on you, sorry, to be fair. And then I have to put out a lot of energy in the middle of it. So fortunately, it does actually work that I get sweaty, because you can see it's 10 minutes long. It's about 10 minutes, isn't it?
Yeah, about that.
You can see as it progresses, me getting more and more sweaty and worn out. That's real. I didn't have to act that.
Yeah, Garth is not acting in that at all. He is just genuinely that pissed off by that point.
So at the very end, when you see Ben go, yeah, we've got it. And I'm like, really? That is a genuine moment of like, please let this shit end.
Well, that was one trick that I did in that is I remember that I dropped that line a lot where I was just like, because we do a little thing where we coordinate. And yes. I said, look, if we don't get it, I'm not going to say we got it. And so we would do the coordination. I'm like, I think we can do it better. Let's do another take. And so we kept doing that. So I did it like 5 or 6 times. And so by that time, when I go, we've got it, you're like, wait, we actually got it? Like,
oh my God.
Me genuinely telling you we've got it.
And so you get a genuine reaction from both of us.
Because you were sick of doing it by that stage.
Exactly. That was the most cursed thing I think we've ever done.
It definitely is. And it was weird given the plot was we were filming something that was going wrong. And realistically, we should have just had a camera set to the side and filmed us trying to make that.
Yeah, it was what it was. But then saying that, Public Domain Confessions, that was something that we'd start recording as soon as the sun went down. And I think for both of them, we ended in the daylight in the morning.
Yeah, well, your makeup would always set us back a lot in that.
There was a lot of setting it up and a lot of makeups and 3 different characters in one night.
And especially the last one in the first episode, that was the Martian. And in the second episode, that was the clown.
Yes, and the clown makeup took a while to do.
Yeah, and the Martian makeup. Do you remember the Martian costume? You had that.
I still have the Martian costume, but the makeup was very lovely done by Piper.
Yes.
Our makeup girl, who is very talented at doing that kind of stuff. And she did a good job, put a swimmer's cap on me and then put makeup on the swimmer's cap to mix with my head. But because it's an alien, my ears were folded in underneath the cap. And this meant that I couldn't hear properly. And so it was like I was in a vacuum. So time had no meaning. I thought I was shouting, but I wasn't talking very loud. Or I was shouting really loud, but I was whispering. I couldn't figure out how loud I was. I couldn't figure out how much time had gone. I was panicking just from having my ears like flipped forward. It was a very scary moment. And you're trying to be like, no, Garth, longer than that. No, that was the same amount of time. No, that was too long now. Shorter than that.
Yeah, that is the one character Garth has made me swear not to bring into anything ever again.
Never again. Although we have used the costume again.
We did, but that wasn't for anything we released. That was something for an assignment that I had.
Yes, but hey, I got the money's worth out of the costume, didn't I?
Yeah, because I had to do a quick pitch for a fictional TV show.
Yes.
And I remember the one I did was, it was somebody who's like this normal guy, but then his brother comes to visit and his brother's an alien and they're both aliens, but you know.
Yeah, he's
trying not to get his cover blown. Very simple, like sitcom-like premise. And so I remember I took a photo of, it had you and I,
yes.
And we did it in front of the green screen and you were dressed in that silver alien thing to show that you were the alien. And I was just dressed in like a regular suit.
Yes.
And I remember we did the shot from Planes, Trains and Automobiles.
Yes, yes, it was.
That's what we were trying to replicate. You were John Candy, I was Steve Martin.
Even down to the tie.
Yeah, we tried to dress as much like him as we can and we got the pose. And I think we got the pose really good as well.
It worked out great, yeah.
Because you managed to get John Candy's goofy smile down and I managed to get Steve Martin's annoyed look down. And yeah, it was good. Considering like only 20 people saw that and will ever see that, it was awesome.
And it justified me keeping onto that terrible, terrible suit.
Yeah, and half the people who saw it were on their phones at the time.
Yeah, they couldn't care less.
Yeah. In fairness, I didn't care about their thing either. I don't remember one other thing that another student pitched.
Yeah, why would you?
The one thing that's caught my eye on the Wikipedia page.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're doing the 100 episodes page.
Yeah, is they have a table down here that has a list of TV shows that I assume have made 100 episodes.
Oh my God, in 2010, person of interest, someone gave me the full series. It's sitting at home. I have all the DVDs. Haven't seen a single episode. I have no idea what the show's about, but there it is right there.
I think I saw a couple of episodes of that and I got bored with it. I can't believe it made it to 100. I think it's something they use computers or something to solve murders.
Or murders to solve computers?
I don't know. They use some sort of digital minority report format to track down killers.
Oh, it's a J.J. Abrams thing.
Of course it is. But it ran for 5 seasons and it did 100 episodes exactly.
103.
Is that a thing? Did it say 103? It says number of episodes 100.
103.
Oh, it says 103. Okay, I can't really see the screen that well from back here.
That's okay.
Screen looks like an eye chart right now. Yes, you're right. 103 episodes.
Why?
That's sort of a weird number.
103, yeah.
Like, we wanted to end at 100 to keep it round. Like, we considered going to 103, but thought, nah, that'd be 3 too many.
Technically, we did 103 or 104, didn't we?
No, shut up, Garth.
I bet there's someone... just say we did 100. I bet those 3 don't count.
Yeah, well, I don't count those bonus episodes or the Christmas things as wiki review. That's like a whole side project.
Just because it's on the same podcast doesn't mean it's the same podcast. Yeah, okay. But yeah, no, that is a weird number, 103. Like, just get over the mark. I guess they were funded to go another season.
Well, one thing I do know about 100 episodes is TV shows used to like hitting it back in the day because that means you get put into syndication, which syndication means that they just play reruns of your episodes.
Which means you get those royalties forever.
Yeah, which it's not really a big issue these days now everything's gone to streaming. Though people still love those shows that have a heap of episodes like Friends. I don't know what streaming site that's on, but apparently that's like one of the big draws to it.
At work, the boss's wife said that like her daughter, who just graduated high school, got into Friends. And I'm like, I don't think she was alive when Friends was on.
No, I know lots of people who are getting into Friends. It's sort of had this like revival where people are like, Friends are awesome. And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I liked it when it came out because it was very of that time.
I knew it was bad when it came out. Like I knew what I was watching was terrible, but there were only four channels and that's what the family watched.
I mean, the best show on TV at that point was Seinfeld. So that's your marker. Like Seinfeld was a great show and it was a classic show, but it is very 90s. It is very sitcom-esque. Yes.
And so is Friends, absolutely.
Like Breaking Bad kind of like really lifts the game from Seinfeld.
Yes, but no, but no, but yes. Once again, Breaking Bad is of its time because it's twice the, well, it's technically three times the length. You know, it's like a 45-minute episode versus a 21-minute. And it's serious, not funny. There's no laugh track. And honestly, I think every single Breaking Bad episode could be 20 minutes long. They just have all
these- cut the breakfast scene.
Yeah, cut the long pans where nothing happens and you're just watching a dude walk from one end to the other, or it's a pool and it's just watching a pool for like half an hour. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that was something I remember watching the movie 12 Years a Slave.
Oh yeah, I never saw that, but I'm told it was long.
It was a very long movie. And look, the plot was great and very meaningful movie. The only criticism I've got is the way it was directed. There were so many artsy shots where it would just like stand on this guy for like ages and ages. And just show him like having different facial expressions. And it's like, you can just cut all this crap.
This is not helping anything.
You don't need to really devote a lot of time to showing me that the guy who is enslaved is sad. Like, I get it.
We came into the movie knowing that.
I just assume that anyone who is a slave is not happy with the situation of being a slave.
You can assume it. In fact, the only time you should take time to show them being emotional is if they were happy. Because you need to establish, no, this slave is actually a happy slave. Like, what? That makes no sense. Take the time. Then you need that like 20 minute shot of him showing facial expressions because you're like, wait, what is this ironic? Is someone forcing him to? No. This is legitimate happiness. Okay, so he has a mental condition? What am I missing here? Is it you need that explained to you? But yeah, no, I know that a slave is sad.
That did remind me of something that came up on a previous episode we did, which was list of pseudosciences.
Oh, that was great.
One of my favorite ones on there, just because of how ridiculous the notion was back many years ago in those slave days, there was a mental condition of people who didn't want to be slaves.
Yes.
If a black person did not want to be enslaved, they thought, oh, there must be something mentally wrong with this person. They keep trying to escape their bonds from slavery.
They must be mentally ill. Oh, how do we cure them of this illness of not wanting to be whipped and forced to work for me?
And it's like, how did you get the backing of that to get it in a book? I mean, back then, I guess, yeah.
Well, if it's legal to own people, like, you gotta remember, like, that's what's happening at that time. You live in a place where you can just own people and do whatever you want to them. That's a horrifying reality to think about. So, of course, the people who own the people are gonna make laws that say it's okay, and of course they're gonna therefore have, like, psychological backing. Like, that'd be used in like a law situation where they go, look, this slave is obviously weird and off. Like, oh, they say that they're suffering. Yeah, but he's crazy. He doesn't count. We can't count his opinion. You can't take the testimony of a crazy man. All my other slaves love being whipped and tortured and forced to work for me.
Yeah, I tell them so. And if they tell me that they don't, I just whip them until they change their mind.
They're basically just begging, like, you know, I'm not being whipped enough. They need special attention. And that's what I provide for them.
That'd be weird, though. Like, that seems surreal to me, the idea of knowing that people own other people.
But it still does happen. And for a very long part of human history, like most, like 99% of human history involves humans owning other humans.
See, I think if slavery were to come back, I would have a higher chance of being a slave than owning one.
Oh, absolutely. And we would not fare well. Like, we're not going to be the breeders because we're not physically fit enough to do anything like important. And we're not good. We're not skilled enough to do something good. And we're not mannered enough or presentable enough that they'd want us like to do a nice job. We'd have something horrible where we'd probably die really quick. We'd be like the ones that get fed to things. Like, feed the lions. It's a dangerous job, but we need someone to like risk their life. Like, we'd probably be stuffed in mines.
Yeah, that'd be weird. Just being like, wait, someone owns me?
That's a poor investment.
Yeah, they should have bought much better.
You are not going to get your money back. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to work that hard.
And it doesn't matter what you do. I'm too lazy and incompetent. I'm not capable of earning the money back, no matter how you motivate me.
Yeah, I would be a poor slave.
And I will die. I'm delicate. I'll die quickly.
I love that we're just trying to downsell ourselves as slaves just in case it comes back. Though on the other side of it, like, how awkward do you think it would feel owning a person? Like, you'd feel uncomfortable around that person, right?
Like, and this is it's a different kind of person, it's a different kind of world, because they used to brag about it. Like, you know, they say, oh, like, they treated, like, oh, black people were different. Like, no. They used to say, I have 100 souls. They used to talk about slaves as in souls. Yes, I own 100 souls.
Yeah, that's creepy.
Yeah, isn't
that
it?
That makes it darker and worse somehow now.
Not just a human being. I own your godly essence. You know, the religious part? Yeah, I own that.
That's mine.
When I go to heaven, because I will go to heaven, I'm bringing all my slaves with me to serve me.
There was a big Egypt thing where it's just like, my slaves are going to serve me in the afterlife.
Yeah, like the pharaoh dies and they kill all the slaves, or they don't kill them. They just shove them in the pyramid with him.
So they can die, suffocate to death inside there, and then serve him in the afterlife.
The guy's dead. You don't have to go through with it. Why would the next guy who's going to be pharaoh not want those slaves for his own bidding? This makes no sense.
Yeah, that'd be screwed up. Imagine being bought by like some old pharaoh, and it's like he's on his deathbed and you're being brought in to serve him, and you're like, wait, I gonna be in a pyramid in like a week or something? Fuck that.
I need some fresh servants in heaven.
I don't know, how would you feel if, like, let's say slavery was a thing and for Christmas I got you a slave?
Oh, that, don't do that. That's
no, we'll take the racial thing out of it. It's not a black slave, it's a Canadian.
Oh that's terrible,
because I also know so Canadians polite. Don't really get offended by much, so yeah, they're the ones you can throw under the bus,
and they're practically like Canadians and Australians are practically the same. Like,
any of the safe countries, your slave comes from either like New Zealand, Finland, Canada.
Wait. Does the New Zealand have any Maori in them?
No. White New Zealand.
Oh, yeah. Cut sick.
They're all like white.
Or maybe like a white South African. If anything, that might be like, hey, that's probably more okay than anyone else.
So yeah, your slave comes from one of the safe countries. You're not stepping on any racial toes by doing this.
They are genetically the same as you. They have the same background. Maybe a nice German slave. Who knows? Yeah, it would just be awkward because, like, I'm brought up that you shouldn't own people. I know some people would probably take to this like a duck to water. Like, they just be like, yes, you shall bring me my oatmeal and you shall make it correctly. Oh, and then when they bring it and it's not right, they'll smash it on the ground, clean it up and make it again. I'd just be like, so are you okay? Do you want me to get you anything?
sit down.
No, I'll get it. It's cool. I got it. Do you have a favorite TV show? Just surf, you know, find whatever you want, man. That's cool. Basically, I'd just have someone I'd have to take care of.
I think I would go to the person and be like, look, this is definitely a horrible misunderstanding. I think slavery is egregious. I'm obviously going to free you straight away. But just before I do, like, do you mind doing those dishes quickly? Just while I still own you, just like, can't actually say no, but I will free you, like, because this is egregious. I hate slavery, abhor it, but the sink is full of dirty dishes and this would really be a lifesaver for me.
Somehow that is worse because not only is the guy your slave doing your bidding, but now he has to be like, no, yeah, you're a good guy. No, I'm one of the good slave owners. Yeah, right. You agree, don't you, my slave? You agree I'm a good guy? Yes. Sir, you're very good. And I promise I'm totally going to free you. But I'm worried that if you get out there with your freedom, they'll just capture you again and then some other guy will get you and he'll be terrible to you. Just remember to shine my shoes. Yeah. And vacuum, you need to vacuum up after that. But someone else could get you and they tell you to do things and I'll make my bed. I need my oatmeal in the morning. You know, for your safety, you need to do the dry cleaning, okay?
Just want my freedom, eh?
What's all this about?
But no, slavery is horrible. Wiki Review's official opinion.
Yes.
It's a non-controversial opinion.
Yeah, sometimes we like to throw them out there, and other times it's just, why are you even making that an opinion? That's not an opinion. That's a statement of fact. There are very few people who would disagree with that statement, and those people probably shouldn't be listened to. Like, most people would not take their word on other things as well. I think slavery is a good thing. And also, you know what? Everything you say from now on, we just know to do the opposite of.
Ooh, going back to the list, because done with person of interest. I'm not interested in it. Have the Beverly Hillbillies.
That's in Cindy.
syndication.
How many episodes did they do?
Number of seasons, 9. They did 274 episodes.
Wow.
It was 106 of them were in black and white.
They did color episodes?
168 color episodes.
Oh, wow. It was more in color than it was in black and white.
And they did a movie starring Jim Varney.
Oh, you mean the updated, not the original people?
No, the original people didn't do a movie.
Yeah, no.
It was done many years later because I think this finished in like the 60s or the 70s. I think it ran throughout the 60s.
Yeah, it had Ernest. That's the guy you're talking about?
Yeah, Ernest.
Yeah, Ernest Goes to Camp. Ernest is a Beverly Hillbilly. That was another quintessential 90s. It reminded me of Clueless.
Also very much of the Brady Bunch movie.
Yes.
It had a very similar premise of just like put these people in the modern world.
Yeah, you can get a lot of mileage out of yokels in high society.
I like the Beverly Hillbillies.
It was great.
But I don't think they're references that hold up.
They had a positive female role who she was a strong, burly woman.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the character's
Ellie
name.
Ellie May. Is that right? Jeffro?
Yeah. And it was Jeffro. Yeah, there was Jed. I remember Jed. Jed Clampett was the main guy. And Granny.
And Granny was
Was awesome as well.
Yes.
She was another strong female character. No one fucked with Granny.
And Buddy Epstein played. Which one's it? Was it Jeffro was the young one and he was Jed?
Yeah, he was Jed.
Buddy Epstein, which he's tap danced with. Who's that little girl? Shirley Temple. Buddy Epstein tap danced with Shirley Temple. And he was a Beverly Hillbilly.
See, I reckon if you're going to do Beverly Hillbillies now, you would go with an actor Sam Elliott.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen him before?
Oh, absolutely. He was in Tombstone and he was the guy at the bar in The Big Lebowski.
Yeah, and I've also seen him in a show called The Ranch.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Without knowing anything about it, that makes total sense.
He plays a ranch owner. There's a stretch.
So for those of you who don't know who we're talking about, it's that guy with the deep Texas accent and a big mustache.
Yeah, he looks like a cowboy. He's pretty much what you think an old cowboy would look and sound like.
His whole career is the mustache. Let's be real. If he doesn't have the mustache, you wouldn't recognize him.
No, not at all.
And he only gets gigs because he has that mustache and his accent, which he's totally putting that accent on.
Yeah, I remember I watched a little bit of that show, The Ranch, because it has him as the father of Ashton Kutcher and Danny McPherson. And both of them were in that 70s show.
Oh, yeah,
so it's Kelso and Hyde.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow.
From that 70s show.
Hyde's in this?
Yes, Hyde's in this. That's Danny Masterson.
Oh, look at that. Unrecognizable.
And also the foreign kid, he comes back for
Fez.
I can't believe I'm blanking on this. I watched that 70s show probably about 10 years ago now, I'm thinking about it. But I got that on DVD and watched like all the seasons through.
But I watched so many shows and I have no idea what the characters are called. You know who they are, you just don't know their names.
I did like that 70s show. That was a good show when it came out.
That was a great show.
And I did see a few episodes of another show that got made afterwards called That 80s Show.
Yeah, that didn't last long.
No, I think it went for less than a season. I think it got canned partway through.
Yeah, they broke the premise because they had a punk girl, but the whole point was, if you weren't punk, you'd be attractive. That's breaking the very persona. The vital requirements of their personality has to be changed in order for her to be attractive, which is also, she's actually pretty both ways, guys, just because she has a mohawk. But yeah, it had no legs. Did the 70s show make it to 100 episodes?
I don't know.
Like, I'm going to assume it did. It feels like it should have.
Let's have a look. That 70s show. Because it had 8 seasons.
It must have.
It went for 200 episodes.
Exactly 200 episodes.
And I know at one point, Eric left. I think in the show, he went to go to Africa, but in real life, he went to make Spider-Man.
He was in Spider-Man?
He was in Spider-Man 3 as Venom.
He was Venom?
Yeah, I know. That's how everyone reacted when they found out what the casting was.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah, that's also what they said after they saw it.
Because he was also in Predators, and it's a movie of like, let's get all the action stars, like all the cool guys. Let's get that Danny Trevarama, the Mexican.
Oh, Danny Trejo. Yeah.
Yeah, Mechetti. Let's get Oli Takhtarov. Let's get all the cool, hardcore action guys. And for some reason, that wiener from that 70s show is going to be there too.
He's just in a bunch of movies where people are like, why are you here?
Yes. He is always playing himself. He's always that same character. He's always the guy from the 70s show.
Eric Foreman, yeah.
He plays Eric. And he looks like Eric and he plays Eric. And as it goes along, that's all he does. And he can't break that stigma.
I refuse to acknowledge his real name. I always know him as Eric Foreman.
Hey, Foreman, you're an ass.
Though in that show, Red, the father, he was awesome. Though it kind of became a stretch around the 6th or 7th season when Eric does leave the show and all the kids are still hanging out in his house. Basement. And it's like, why are they all here? Why are the parents putting up with this crap? He'd be like, our kid's gone. Get the fuck out.
Especially for him.
But they already had the basement set made. So yeah, what are they going to do?
And once you're that many seasons in, do you really care? The audience doesn't care. Why do you care?
And their stoner circle was a good idea.
Because it was never mentioned that it was weed.
It never was. But it was always implied by the way it saw the camera went round. And you always knew what they were doing in that scene. And yeah, it was a great way how they could keep it clean yet still have their little drug jokes in there. Because it's that 70s show.
That's right. Very clever.
I don't know. If you're making anything about like the 60s or 70s, you've got to put drugs in there, right?
Yeah, it's a little drug bit of culture. Weed. Things don't make sense unless they have it. And then they had Chong.
Yeah. Oh, Tommy Chong. Yeah, he was awesome in that show.
Because once again, there's a guy who just plays his character. He doesn't do not that character. Cheech is all over the place doing different stuff. He has a lot of different characters. I mean, in Dusk Till Dawn, he plays several characters.
Dusk Till Dawn is probably some of the best characters I've ever seen him play. That monologue when he's out in front of the strip club of like all the different types of pussy that are available in the strip club. Iconic. That's amazing.
Yeah, everyone knows that.
From Dusk Till Dawn is probably one of the greatest movies ever made.
Wow.
I don't know. You tell me anything that tops it. It's fun. It's action-packed.
It is good. I just like when you, the way you said it, I'm like, I immediately went, you're comparing it with Gone with the Wind? What the hell, dude?
Oh, I would so rather watch From Dusk Till Dawn than Gone with the Wind.
Yeah, and I immediately went, no, wait. First off, I haven't seen Gone with the Wind, and it's only considered a classic because it was the first novel written in America around the Civil War, made famous because of America. It's the same as The Great Gatsby. Stupid book, it's a stupid movie, but it was the first book written in America, essentially, that became famous. And it's about Americana, so they made it big. Like Mary Poppins, right next to Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah, I would say that From Dusk Till Dawn is better than Mary Poppins.
Schindler's List.
Yeah, I mean, it's very, very different types of movies there, but
that's my point that I'm getting. Like, it is a classic movie, and it's been around, and it does a good job, but the way you said it just made me go like, wow, like, there's some big, epic movies where big stuff happened that was important to the world, and you're just putting Dusk Till Dawn right in there. You're putting in Vampire Strip Club in the middle of...
Second is Zombie Strippers. Starring Robert Englund, who you might know as Freddy Krueger.
Hey, look at that.
Freddy Krueger now owns a strip club. It was good to see that character managed to get that development.
Yeah.
I always wondered what happened to him, and it's like he just bought a strip club that has zombies in it.
Makes sense.
It does actually make sense if you've seen all the other movies.
Which I don't think I have.
Haven't you seen the Nightmare on Elm Street series?
I've seen some of them. I remember watching them as a kid.
I have made my way through them a couple of times. I was a fan
of them. How many are there?
Oh, I think there's like 8 or something like that.
No, I've seen like maybe 1 and 2.
And that's if you're counting like the Freddy vs. Jason sort of thing.
That's, yeah, I figured it franchises off to a point where I'm like, I don't even know whether they're there or not.
And then they rebooted and recast at one stage, and that one wasn't as good. I don't know. The ones with Nancy are probably the best ones
because there's
a character in the first movie called Nancy who is the one who goes up against Freddy Krueger, and then, you know, they go on to the next movies and they make it about other people, and then there are like some kids that are getting tormented by Freddy Krueger, but then some expert comes in and it's Nancy. When I was watching these movies, because I watched them back to back, and when she came back in, that was like this mind blow of like, oh motherfucker, yeah, she's the one who knows how to take it down.
She's the expert.
And that's Dream Warriors, I think that one's called, where she teaches them how to fight Freddy Krueger. So they're using like dream powers because someone said like, you're in a dream. Why can't you just like pull out like a sword or a gun or something like that? So she turns basically fighting Freddy Krueger into the Matrix.
Oh, excellent. And also, yeah, you got it wrong. I'm not stuck in here with you. You're stuck in here with me. Watchmen.
The guy who played Rorschach in Watchmen was actually Freddy Krueger in the reboot.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my God. That's the weirdest. Like, I just said that. I had no idea it was relevant.
It was completely relevant. I was like, does he know this?
No. And like, I like the Rorschach character, but why does his mask always look like my parents fighting?
Oh my God. That's actually a really good joke. Oh, I like that.
What's another show that we can look at?
I don't know. Let's go back to the 100 episodes. The Cosby Show. Do you want to touch that?
Mate, I'm not touching that with a 30-foot pole.
No, we'll let that.
Hey, it was a classic show and a lot of good things happened on it.
Yeah. A couple of really bad things happened on it too.
Not on camera.
No, that was all behind the scenes. Let's talk about something more happy. Happy Days.
Hey! Monday, Tuesday, Happy Days.
Because how many Happy Days would have run for a lot?
Because it's a show that was, it's got that same same Brady Bunch vibe of like, it was a show made about the 50s in the, I want to say 70s. And then we watched it.
In the Wikipedia page, I can't see. It's got to say the air dates.
71.
Where are you reading that? Oh, there you go.
Yeah. At the beginning of the 70s, they made a show about the 50s and we watched it in like the 90s. So there's this time lapse that's a bit off. It probably seems like more episodes than it should.
Oh, wait, was that made in the 70s? I actually just assumed that they made it about that time. Like, I thought it was...
Mr. Miyagi was in it. Ron Howard was in it.
Yeah, I guess I didn't do the math on that at all. I mean, Ron Howard was pretty young in it, and he looks old these days.
Oh, you know how Cobra Kai is a movie or a show or something now?
Yeah, I was meant to watch that and never got around to it.
Yeah, me too. So they've got LaRusso back in it, and in it he plays himself at the age of 51. And I saw something today where they showed that Mr. Miyagi was 51 in the original Karate Kid, and you see them side by side, and LaRusso just looks like, you know, a 50-year-old guy. Mr. Miyagi's like old and gray, like as a 51-year-old. They show the date they said he was born. But yeah, in Happy Days, he played a chef. He was the guy who owned the bar the restaurant they all hung out at.
Didn't they spin off Happy Days into like Joni Loves Chachki or something like that?
Yes. Hey, I've got an idea. You know that show that everyone only watches for the Fonz? Yeah, let's get rid of him.
Well, the Fonz left eventually, didn't he?
Did he?
Happy Days ran for a while, and I think they lost all of the major cast after a while.
Oh, really?
And Joni is Richie Cunningham's little sister.
Because they all grew up.
And yeah, so she was a little kid when it started, but by the end, she was becoming an adult. So then when they did Joni Loves Chachki, it was about her moving out of the house.
It's like if they did a Cindy Brady spinoff. Yeah,
because it's rare that like shows about kids go for like 200 and something episodes because they get old.
Oh. Weeds, that must have made it 100 episodes. And that was one which it did get to see kids grow up because they started off, they were literally children. Like the one of them was pre-puberty. There's two films, the TV series.
Weeds, the TV series.
102 episodes.
It just makes it good because I was going to stop you talking about it if it had come under.
Yeah, no, and I would have just stopped. I'm like, well, clearly this is not relevant.
Yeah.
I apologize. Please remove this from the recording.
I would have gone, nah, it's 98, Garth. Shut up.
It doesn't count. It's nothing to us.
But nah, it's made 102.
Worth talking.
Speak about Weeds all you want.
Okay, it was great because it started off like the kid was like primary school kid. And by the end, he's an adult because it was over, what, eight seasons. After eight seasons, he's fully grown. He's got mustaches. And there was that season where he comes back after puberty. So he went from being like this cute little kid to this gangly, I'm in the TV show. It was like, oh my God, you got awkward quick. And they addressed because there's like a brunette kid and a blonde kid. And as they got older, the difference between them became more apparent that they actually brought up. And I don't know if they planned it in the show, like the writers knew this is where they're going, or they got feedback of like, why is one like a bronze Danish looking one and one's like a little mousy pale brown haired kid? But they worked it into the plot that they had different fathers. I like to think, because I discussed this with Ali, like she thinks that like, no, Genji Cohen had this thought, like, you know, they had the skeleton for the series. We know where we're going. Whereas I feel it was very on the fly. Like they got marketing, like comments came back where they went, why do the kids look nothing alike? It was meant to. Yeah. We had this all planned all along.
So that's the thing. You can't do 9 seasons and have something planned all along. Yeah. Like you're saying when you were doing the pilot episode, you knew how season 9 was going to end. There's only one show that can really say that they did that. And that was How I Met Your Mother. And that was stupid.
And I still contend that no, they didn't plan that.
Well, they filmed it very close because they needed the kids to have certain lines.
Oh, okay.
And they were going to get older. So they wanted to film it while the kids were still young enough to be believable as kids or for this to be a single sitting story.
Oh, so they had to do every single episode with the feedback from the kids in one sitting, essentially.
Well, the feedback turned into voiceovers, but for the first couple of seasons, they cut to reaction shots of the kids. But then they stopped doing that because they're like, oh shit, these kids are going to get older and no one's going to believe this was one sitting. So what they did was they stopped doing that, but they filmed one last one that was going to be shown in the final episode.
But you see, that was a few seasons in, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't do it off the pilot.
But it was an episode. It was what they wanted to do from the pilot, which was for him to end up with Robin.
Oh, okay.
But at the same time, the show had developed where the chemistry didn't really work out between those characters and people were kind of sick of that storyline. And plus, they spent the whole previous season marrying her off to Barney.
And I always hate that when the show, because Parks and Rec, I've been watching, and Ann Perkins ends up with Rob Lowe, who she went out with. Like, I hate it when a show starts with two people go out and have an awkward time and then they break up. And then like seven seasons later, they realize they were meant to be. I hate that. I think it's a cop out. I think it's stupid and it needs to stop. And that is Wiki Review's official stance. I've become aware that this is the last time we get to use that.
So you're just going to throw them out willy nilly.
We've got to get all our official stances out. This is the only time. And this way in the future, I can go, well, look, I think this, maybe, I'm not sure, but I do happen to know that there's a podcast called Wiki Review and this is their official stance. And people will go, well, a podcast took an official stance. Well, that must be serious. I don't take this lightly. I guess they know what they're talking about. They don't just throw stuff out willy-nilly, do they?
What about this for one? They have CSI, Crime Scene Investigators. But I'm going to throw this out and say not Crime Scene Investigators, every like cop thing, like Law and Order, any acronym-based.
NCIS, CSI, DMV, DVD.
They're all the
HTMI.
Same.
HTMI.
Like, criminal Intent, SVU, whatever.
STD.
Yeah, like, what are your...
HIV.
What are your feelings on those? Because I remember probably the most that I used to watch them is when daytime television was a thing.
Yes.
And I challenge you to find anything on better at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
No, that's pretty much it. My opinion is I don't watch any of it. I have no interest in it. Not going to. I remember when I was much younger, and yeah, there were fewer options. Of course I watched it. I watched NCIS because there was a goth chick in it I had a crush on. But
I remember her.
Yeah, but looking back, like, I think it was literally just because, like, she was dressed up cute. That was it. I don't know her name in it. I have no idea what happened in the show.
She was the science girl, right?
Yeah, yeah, and that's hot. Like, oh, she's, like, smart, too. I like that.
She's smart and gothic.
Yeah, she could do experiments.
And I'm assuming you were, like, 12 at this time, too.
Yeah.
That's got to play into it.
That's got to be relevant.
I do remember one of those shows that was exclusively watched by old people. JAG.
Yes!
My grandmother used to love JAG. I don't think anyone who actually watched JAG when it was out is still alive. No JAG fans are still alive.
That's sad.
They must all be dead.
What I loved about JAG is because they insisted on making it about Navy lore, which is the whole premise of it, there's only one stock footage of a nuclear sub and it appears in every episode. Like, not just their credits, but they somehow work in, oh, and by the way, here's the submarine surfacing. And it's the same footage every freaking time.
Oh my God. Do you imagine, like, if you shot that footage, you're like, I landed the JAG contract. And you're like, excellent, you're going to be in an episode of JAG? Nope.
Nope.
Every episode. Well, they're putting him in the credits and every episode.
The royalties. Because a nuclear sub is a secretive thing. They don't want too much footage leaking. So that is the only footage of a nuclear sub. That's the only stuff that they would release. So if you had the one, you have all nuclear subs. It even appeared in McHale's Navy, that one piece. Because if you want a nuclear sub surfacing in your movie, you need to have that piece of footage. And there's only one. If you own the rights to that, you'd be a rich man.
I have thought of that, of just getting stock footage of stuff. But there would be an art to finding, like, what do you think you could sell for the most? If I could get a shot of a nuclear sub, definitely.
What's something that would come up, you're the only one who has the footage of it? If you're the only one who has footage of this, you have all the rights to it. But people have to want to use it. And most things that we know about because someone's filmed it.
That is true.
And it has to be something that looks like relatively attractive too. Because if you found like the only footage of a certain kind of spider that looks gross and like people would prefer the artist rendition over you, that's not going to make money.
I don't know. Is there any other 100 episodes? We really just looked at that table. Disappointments.
Disappointments that made it to 100. I love Lucy. Which, Becca. Why is that in disappointments? It made 129 episodes.
Huh. Mad About You. Really? People didn't like Mad About You. They weren't mad about it. I remember back in the day, it was a popular show.
It was great. And Murphy Brown. And Mad About You was a groundbreaking show. That was a really good show.
It launched Helen Hunt's career, who was an actress.
Yeah.
I don't know what she is now.
And Paul Reiser is sometimes around.
I see him as a talking head. 8 Simple Rules. In fairness, I did not know that made 100 episodes. That's kind of crazy.
That's, hey, good for them.
I mean, that's their main character. Like, the actor died. And then they brought in David Spade to replace him.
And everyone was like, what?
I mean, like, that's worse than Ashton Kutcher.
Why is everyone loves Raymond in The Disappointments?
Yeah, that was like the biggest show in the world at that time.
Oh, wait, maybe we're just reading highlights here. If we actually read it. The CBS sitcom Becker ran for 129 episodes and had high first run ratings for 4 of its 6 seasons. But much like December Bride, these ratings were largely accredited to piggybacking off Becker's lead-in and the popular Everyone Loves Raymond. So, okay, so Becker was only contributed as a success because it was on before Everyone Loves Raymond.
Okay, and that's why that made the list. Yeah, that was a wildly successful show.
Which, if you scroll up a little bit, I saw something. Yeah, that's a December Bride thing that we just said. It came out. It's called Hammocking. If it's put between two popular shows, like there's a popular show that everyone wants to watch and then another popular show, you put a show between it. And December Bride, they put it on between like I Love Lucy and Here's Lucy, and it got huge ratings in the first season. So they sold it. They said, you get 100 episodes, and they sold it to another company. And then when they moved it, it got no ratings. They're like, hey, we thought this was a popular show. No, it's Hammocking.
People just like Lucy.
Yeah. And there was, I can't remember what it was, but someone had a show that was on after Roseanne and that launched their career. It was a know-nothing show. It wasn't even a good show. I want to say like Reba or someone like that. But the fact that they were on after Roseanne, that everyone knows their name. They didn't watch the show, but because when you're watching Roseanne, they go, up next, it's insert name. That person has a career for life being a stand-up comedian because people know their name now.
Yeah, so that's what we got to do. We just got to get on before.
Or after.
That's what we should do. We should get on someone else's podcast. Go after you finish yours, just tack ours on to the end.
Oh, so they can say, up next is Wiki Review. And then people are like, oh yeah, hey, Wiki Review. Yeah, I've heard of that. I don't know where.
And then if you get to the end of Wiki Review, there'll be some other awesome podcast there. So we'll hammock between these two.
And that way, if you want to hear both awesome podcasts, you're still going to have to like fast forward through ours. So even if you don't listen to us, you'd still have to hear our voices and it would subconsciously get into you.
And we know occasionally we'll be like, I can't be bothered fast forwarding. I'll just listen.
Exactly. Oh yeah, your hands are busy. You can't get to the podcasty machine, whatever you use. I don't know what you have. And so you end up listening to us. People might actually be listening to us right now between the Joe Rogan Experience and the Doug Stanhope podcast.
That's true. Two significantly better podcasts.
Yeah. I disagree with that, but
I'm not a big fan of Joe Rogan either.
Yeah.
Doug's good.
His podcast does get a bit, he gets very drunk and he gets very drunk with his friends and it becomes a little bit unlistenable at times. And I tried to listen to Joe Rogan's. I cannot do it. It's painful. I don't know.
Yeah, there is a lot going on in that man's head.
I disagree. I think there's nothing going on. I think there's nothing and it's boring and he's just, I don't know how he's successful. There is clearly a disconnect between me and the rest of the world. All these guys who are like, yeah, we listen to Joe Rogan, man. Like, we will never relate. I can never understand. I won't get, they're not my audience.
I think it is time, Garth. Are you ready to rate the page for the last time?
Oh my dear goodness.
How would you rate this page, Garth?
Oh my God, this is it. And I do want to say, yeah, our rating system, we did not mention how we started. You have somehow found a new number every time. Have you ever checked? Have you ever doubled up numbers?
Probably, I don't know.
Okay. And mine's just some nonsensical thing.
Yeah, we excel at randomness. That's the one thing that Wiki Review's good at, random.
Okay, so yeah. This is it. I've got to find my ultimate. I would have to rate this page 100 out of episodes.
100 out of episodes.
Ah, you see what I did there?
I did.
Oh, do you want to reverse so that you do mine, I do yours? No. That's stupid. Yeah, I have to rate it out 100 out of episodes because we tuned into this for the episode. We thought this was going to be an episode. And you know what? It was an episode. 100, because that's the biggest number there is. That's as many pages as there are on Wikipedia.
That is true. That is Wiki Review's official opinion.
Official opinion.
And that's why we're ending.
So I'm giving this a perfect score, mainly for the nostalgia that we went through. Although I did like learning that there were other, like we're in these ranks now. We just went through a couple of different shows and Wiki Review will be on there too.
That's true, because we have made 100 episodes.
That's right. We're equal to the Beverly Hillbillies. We're exactly the same. Just as popular, just as successful. I'm going to stop talking before I get depressed. Ben, what did you think?
Okay, well, I mean, you already picked 100 to use in your rating, so now I can't use it in mine.
Kind of halfway I did it.
Yeah, so I'm going to pick a number that's not 100. And 73, that's a number that's not 100.
No, it's not.
So out of 73, I would rate this, I don't know, a 50.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, it says crappy shows. And it has the Cosby Show on there, so it's got to lose points for that.
Yeah, yeah, that's
true. I don't think anyone's meant to mention that anymore. Yeah. But overall, forget this page. Doing the podcast, that was awesome.
This has been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, we always do a retrospective of like the page and the things that we liked from the episode. But I guess this time it's like, well, you know, we've done like a whole show, 100 episodes.
We have. That's an accomplishment.
It is a very big accomplishment. And it's also been like, it's something that has kept you and I in touch throughout this time.
True.
Because I do wonder like how much we would have seen each other had we not been doing the podcast, because we kind of built this thing in that every 2 weeks we had to meet up and have a conversation.
And I am looking forward to our little off time, because maybe we could like not work.
Yes.
We could just, I don't know, like hang out, which when I think about it, all we'd be doing is this, but without microphones.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, there is some points before the podcast where we just sort of sit here and chat and catch up. And it sounds weirdly like the podcast.
Yeah, at certain points we go, we should probably be recording this.
Yeah, all of this would work if the microphone was on.
All we had to do was hit record.
And that is something that you and I have not really caught up in a while without it being something that we're filming or
a project
or
of some kind.
Or a podcast or, yeah, just something that we're working on.
Like when I see you, I think of work. Like you're a job.
It's weird. Are we work friends then?
We're like charity. What do you call it? Like volunteer friends?
Yeah, because we don't earn any money from this.
Yeah. If you guys want to send us money, like feel free to.
Yeah. If you send us money, we'll keep doing Wiki Review.
Yeah, absolutely. We will do your own personal Wiki Review.
Yeah, because that was the deal. You get the first 100 for free. And now you got to pay.
Yeah. That's genius. We should have said that. We should have led with that.
Yeah, we should have mentioned that in episode one.
Yes. But it has been fun. It's been fun having all you wonderful viewers and everything you've told us, all your little retorts, responses to us.
And you should definitely stay in touch with everything that we do, because although Wiki Review is coming to an end, most of it is so we can get organized and get our stuff together to more streamline with things, because, you know, we've been shouting out the YouTube channel for ages, the Humidor YouTube channel. Find it in the show notes. We do have videos on there, but we probably haven't been as good with production as we wanted, as the episode time capsule really shows.
Yes.
So we are taking the time. We want to actually start putting more content out on there and differing types of content. We did have fun with things you wouldn't want to hear, and we do want to do more episodes of that, but we also want to do other stuff.
We have a lot of things. It's all about time.
And also ideas with how we want to go forward with the podcast and do stuff like that. We are definitely excited to come forward with the new podcast and think you're going to love it so much more than what we're doing. I reckon every element from this show that you like will continue on. It's still us.
Yeah, it'll still be this doing this, but there'll be other stuff too.
It just won't be about Wikipedia.
Yeah, exactly. Like this is.
Yeah.
This was never really about Wikipedia.
No. So yeah, this is the end of 100 episodes of Wiki Review.
We have reviewed the wiki.
We did 100 or something, man.
That's very rare.
It is.
Like for me in my entire life.
And I think the biggest shout out needs to go to like the listeners though. Like anyone who like listened to us for 100 episodes, or even just listened to a couple of them, or even just this one.
But no, if you listen to every single episode, like bless your socks. You are a true patriot. You are wonderful. And we would take a bullet for you.
That is true. They are my favorite people in the world. If you have listened to 100 episodes of Wiki Review, you are one of my favorite people on the planet.
Like that is probably the highest I'd rank of all my fans. Like you come to see me do stand up, I love you. You come to see me do improv, I love you. You check out our videos, you like our videos, thank you. But if you listen to every podcast episode, you are my favorite person.
And that is the thing, is like you and I have talked to people who've given us feedback and met people who've seen our stuff, and they seem to know us from something. Either it's from the YouTube channel, or it's our stand up, or it's the podcast.
Yes.
And there is something about the podcast crowd where, I don't know, maybe it's because the podcast is a bit more intimate, where it does feel more like they're my favorite.
Yeah, it's the most intimate, where we get the most in-depth. We have the most open dialogue. Also, we've done more of it than anything else. Like, you see me do stand-up for, like, what, 10, 20 minutes? But how many of those, like, 7 of those fit into an episode?
Because that's what I figure. If you've listened to Wiki Review, then I'll technically classify you as a friend. You've sat there and listened to me for, like, a week so...
You're more than a friend to me. You are, a confidant?
I thought you were going to propose to the listeners there for a second.
Hey, whatever they need. Like, if you guys need a hand with anything, like, what do you need? You tell me what you need. You need your tax return done? I'll help you out. What do you need done? I won't move furniture.
I like that you draw the line, because you would have just ended up having to move a bunch of people's furniture.
Oh, you know I would have. I know that's the one thing people go, oh yeah, I'm moving. Hey, remember the Wiki Review guys put out that claim? Let's do that. I think that makes you are the special people for listening.
So make sure you do stay in touch with us. Like, you can check us on the Instagram, the Humidor Instagram. You can check us on the Humidor Facebook, which is probably our most active one. Twitter is probably our least active one, but still has something occasionally that pops up.
It's there.
It's there. It We've exists. Got it. But no, check in with our Facebook and also go to humidor.com.au. It's all in the show notes. And, you know, hopefully if you keep the catalog of our episodes, you can go back through the show notes to make sure you have links to our stuff.
Yes. And also, don't forget the email.
The email, wikireviewpodcast@gmail.com. I will continue to check that for years after this podcast has ended. So,
because if you're not on Facebook or Twitter and all the other stuff, but you still want to know, you want to be informed when we do the next one, email. And we will write back to you.
So usually I would say at the end, I would say that that's it for this episode of Wiki Review, but I think I can shorten it and go, that's it for Wiki Review.
That has been the Wiki Review.
I've been Ben Graw.
I've been Garth Remington.
And stay tuned for the extra content we're going to be releasing over the next couple of weeks. But other than that,
we'll see you in the next reincarnation.
Yeah. Goodbye till then.
Toodles.
Find Humidor on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and at humidor.com.au. Theme is I Live for the Bass Drum by DJ Searle. All other music by Matt Graw.